ever had one of those days? One of those days where there was just a hint that things were not going to do or go very well. Well, I have, as you can see from me sitting here. Yes, one of those days where one bad thing happened and then another one comes along. Helen read to us a story about Paul and Silas, who were on a missionary journey in the area of Philippi in Greece. Now, at first, things seemed to be going really well until they met this fortune teller who realized that Paul and Silas were actually servants of God and were sharing the good news message. She started to follow them, probably attracted by them and their message. She was telling everyone about them. But after several days, Paul, in the name of Jesus, cast out the evil spirit that was possessing her. And of course, she lost her fortune-telling power. That was okay, but you might think that anyway, but the men who controlled the women were furious as they lost their valuable income. They seized Paul and Silas, dragged them to the marketplace, where they put them in front of a makeshift court, and they had no chance to speak in their self-defense. They were stripped, beaten, and then, as if that was not bad enough, they were put into the innermost part of the prison with their feet in stocks. Well, I can tell you, I know what that's like. This had turned into a very bad day for them. How did Paul and Silas cope with their bad day? There they were in the most secure area of the prison, in the dark, in pain from their injuries, not able to move, yet they started to pray and sing hymns. Yes, they had a captive audience, but were the other prisoners also captivated by the message they heard? When an earthquake shook the foundations of the prison and they were free, they did not use the opportunity to escape. The jailer knew his life was at risk if the prisoner escaped, and he would have committed suicide if Paul had not assured him that everyone was still there. The jailer was astonished. He realized that Paul and Silas were very different prisoners from the ones that he usually had in his prison. They had earned the right to testify to who God is and to tell of the love that God has for them. This led to the jailer and his family following Jesus, and they demonstrated their newfound faith by taking care of Paul and Silas. They washed their wounds and gave them something to eat. How very practical, but how very, very kind, considering the cruel treatment that Paul and Silas had had initially. Yes, this was a real turnaround. Because the jailer and his family now believed in Jesus, they were filled with a deep contentment, which we call joy. I wonder if you know the story of Joseph Scrivens. He became keenly aware of the power of prayer. It sustained him when all seemed lost in life. He grew up in County Down, Northern Ireland, and at the age of 25, his fiancée was drowned the day before their marriage. He emigrated to Canada and fell in love again. But before he could marry this young lady, she died of pneumonia. On learning that his mother was ill back in Northern Ireland, he wrote a poem called Pray Without Ceasing. We know this poem as a hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Prayer is our open line into God's presence and an open line into our times of need and uncertainty. Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns. Sometimes when we are in the middle of a crisis and having a really bad day, it's hard to pray. It may help to use the words of a hymn or a remembered Bible text. We might ask others in our church family to pray for us. Maybe we could write a prayer card for Ewan and the prayer group, sharing our problems and anxieties with a friend does help. Paul and Silas in prison were far from happy. They had nothing to sing about, but they knew that God had not forsaken them. And they did have joy in their hearts as they praised God. It has been suggested that to experience real joy, we as Christians should remember the mnemonic J for Jesus, O for others, and Y for you or yourself, placing them in that priority in our lives. And I was trying to explain that or introduce that to the children earlier. The source of all joy is God. Joy is not to be confused with transient happiness, which is dependent on our circumstances and is much more about happy feelings that we have when we're celebrating good news, for example. People, places, and possessions may only bring us short-term happiness. In Tam O'Shanter, Robert Burns sums it up like this: "But pleasures are like poppies spread. You seize the bloom, its flower is shed. Or like the snowfalls in the river, a moment white then melts forever." The joy spoken about in the Bible is something we can count on, a deep contentment which we have even in the worst of circumstances. Not only is God the only true source of joy, God is totally reliable. He will be there when the people you love let you down, or leave you, or die. He will be there when the place you thought would make you happy doesn't satisfy you any longer. He will be there when the possession is lost or broken. God's word contains words of joy. There are at least three times as many verses about joy and rejoicing in the Bible than about sadness. Does that not cheer us up tremendously? It does me. Here is a wonderful verse from part of the Bible in the Old Testament. "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." I think it's wonderful to think that God rejoices over us with singing. Jesus was a man of joy. He showed it in his attitude. He drew crowds who could not get enough of him. His words impacted those who listened. He showed joy in his actions, treating people with good humor and patient understanding. And he was skillful in helping them identify their spiritual need. As we try to think of others and put their interests before our own, how can we nurture joy in them? Plato, the Greek philosopher, said, "Be kind to everyone, for everyone you meet is fighting a heart battle." How would our daily interactions change if we applied this to the folk we meet on a daily basis? If we knew that everyone we met had a hidden sorrow, would it transform our attitude towards them? When we listen to others with compassion and understanding, not assuming we know exactly how they're feeling or what they're thinking, and without judgment or criticism, we add joy to their lives. In the hymn, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky," we sing, "I will hold your people in my heart." Do we? We should always appreciate other folks' efforts, thanking them for any service they have given, showing appreciation and not taking them for granted. We need to be joy builders. As Christians, we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came to bring us freedom and joy to our hearts. This unconditional love of God gives us a hope and a future. Through our words and our actions, we can share this joy with others, making a difference to their lives. In their turn, others may help to keep the joy in our hearts by supporting us, encouraging us, and praying for us. I have been particularly aware of this over the last few weeks, especially, and I'm so grateful to my church family. And I don't think I would be sitting up here this morning if it wasn't for that. You matter to God, you matter to your family, and you matter to your friends, and of course to your church family. When we understand this, we can focus on who we are in Christ. We need to take care of ourselves so that we can serve our Lord and others, nourishing ourselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Just as it is easier for me to blame my inherited genes for my tendency to gain weight than to be aware of what I am eating and what I am choosing to do. Well, okay, I'm inactive at the moment, but when I am able to be active, maybe it's easier not to be. But it's easier to blame God for the distance between us and taking action to restore closeness. Closeness with remembering to pray every day and to keep ourselves grounded in our Bible. The Bible reassures us that God will never leave us or abandon us. He will never walk away from us. So, if I feel that I'm not as close to God as I was, it's not because God has moved. How can we not be joyful when we read in Romans, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Paul continues that nothing and no one can ever separate us from God's love. Yes, absolutely nothing and absolutely no one. God created us to be joyful. However, he has left the decision of whether we access that joy up to us. We have to choose it. May God help us to choose to go in joy. Amen.